This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
So what fascinated us about mitosis is that even though it's a very complicated complex with all the chromosomes are condensed, everything, transcription and probably also translation is stopped, yet the cell remember its fate, and the two daughter cells are most of the time similar, or almost always similar to the cell type that they began with. And we wanted to understand how this can happen, because usually you remember your fate by gene transcription, but here the transcription is stopped. Sometimes the mitosis is used in order to change the fate of the cells. This is in rare events that you have to do differentiation, not really rare, but usually every cell cycle you just copy the same cell. But sometimes you want to change the fate of the cells during development, and this is probably also taking place during mitosis. So the DNA is packed into a chromatin. And this is done by packing the DNA around nucleosomes, which are built of histones. Now, not all the histones in the genome are identical. I mean, they are the same proteins, but this protein undergo the different modifications. One of the modification is acetylation, which means to add an acetyl group, a small chemical group, to the histones, and this and other modification are signals to the cells to know what to do in it or to differentiate between different regions of the genome. Now, usually expressed regions are marked with acetylation, and the repressed regions are marked without the acetylation. And during mitosis, we found that surprisingly, there is a overall deacetylation, which means that most of the histones that we found lose these acetyl groups during mitosis and gained it again after mitosis. And this is a very interesting phenomena, because we want now to understand how this happened and what's the role of it.
In a way, I think scientists are derived by a variety of different reasons. Some of us, I think most of us, are always excited about advancing knowledge and advancing like the understanding of how the different cells and different systems work. And you can harness it towards anything from improving human lives to improving how we understand not only humans but multiple organisms across different evolutionary the evolutionary trajectory, because mitosis is such a basic process that even though you have variations between different organisms on how they do it and how it is regulated, there are very important aspects of it that are maintained between these different organisms. And so in a way, better understanding of how do the cells know what to do could help us understand how do different organisms develop, and could help us understand how humans evolve and how humans are maintaining their the kind of intact processes, or how it goes awry in diseases. But I think the basic effort is to try and know better if the cell goes through mitosis, and it has to, in a way, really change what happens to the DNA and how the DNA is compacted, and the entire membrane of the nucleus falls apart, and the chromosomes from being spread and open becomes really condensed, and the transcription is becoming really, really minimal. And it's really intriguing to think about this and understand better at the very high details level of every component of the genome, how do the cells know what to do to it during mitosis and when they came out of mitosis. And this kind of bookmarking is something that has intrigued Itamar and myself. And so I think we've been collaborating for 10 years now. And this this question has been really a big one in terms of understanding what are the rules. And every time we learn something new, the more questions that open up. So for instance, we learned that these location at the beginning of the promoters has this unique type of acetylation, and then it opened up to, okay, what is the role that it plays? Or we learned that there is a reduction in general in acetylation during mitosis, and we're trying to understand what's the exact role that it plays, how is it regulated.
And I would like to add that there are two types of broad types of scientists, basic science, because I'm doing basic science, and applied science. And I found it much, I mean, I found it too complicated to guess which direction will be helpful to humanity. And usually it doesn't work like this. You just study a basic question and try to better understand it. And then if once we understand it, we can find how to apply it to something useful. For example, there are many cancer medicine that are targeting mitosis. And if we will understand better mitosis, we may be able to develop a new direction to target mitosis and to kill cells during mitosis. But we have no idea how it will work, and probably it will not be us, but someone else that will read our papers and will continue from here on. So gaining a better understanding of what is going on during a normal cell cycle is very important, because it may be applied in the future to something useful, to a medicine. And this is a nice recent example is a corona vaccine, which was based on years of study of stability of RNA, which has nothing to do with anything. I mean, it's an interesting phenomenon, but nobody thought that it would be used as a vaccine. And then it was developed enough, so when the need came, they were able to develop the vaccine quite quickly.
No, it's exactly that. And I think this is another aspect of the work of Itamar and myself, is that we are both kind of basic scientists, where we're interested in understanding the phenomena that we observe, and less with an aspect, okay, of how do we make it into translational research, or how do we harness it exactly to move things forward in medicine or other aspects. But I think the greater good for humankind is that the more knowledge we have, the better it is. Another, I think, very important aspect, which I think is critical as a scientist, is that during the process of conducting research, we don't do it by ourselves. I rarely manage to go to the lab, and if I get to run a gel, I feel fortunate. Most of the work is done by our students and our trainees. And the way I look at it, when we teach our trainees and mentor them to evolve as scientists, This is a very important aspect of our work because it increases our power and our impact on the world by advancing other scientists. And instead of me doing research by myself, where I'm one, I can look at my trainees and see that there are many of them, including high school students that sometimes we've mentored, undergraduates, graduates, postdocs, and other trainees. And I think this is something that could really, that has a major impact, because each of them in turn can impact science and move research forward. And just one more thing that I'd like to add is that many of my trainees that work on this project have met Itamar, and many of Itamar's trainees that have worked on the joint project have met me. So it's also that this collaboration is it's not just between Itamar and myself, but we're both accessible to the other mentees on the other group.
The most important thing to teach the student is how to think. And all this discussion, when we are joining us, so they learn from the discussion as well. And doing the experiment is not simple, but it's not the main obstacle. The main thing that you have to teach them is how to think and how to design their own experiment in the future. And this is also something that the collaboration really helped. But even without the collaboration, this is something that we are doing all the time.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.